usually try for Yom Tov to get a little bit of the, at least fun share in the Yom of the Yoma, since we have been talking about Tfilas Kalim, so it's really a natural progression. And hopefully by the end, time we finish the shiur, we'll figure out what in the world the natural progression was between Tfilas Kalim and Kabbalas HaTorah. And maybe we'll have a few minutes to talk a little bit with Divrei Chizuk perhaps at the end also. So the figure to begin, we left off for last week. We were talking last week about the mitzvah of the Tfilas Kalim. We've been talking a lot about in terms of what kind of Kalim requires Tfilah. And we spoke last week about what are some of the time frames of Tfilah. And we mentioned the question, when a person buys a non-kosher kli, that the halacha requires that he not only tovlus, but sometimes has to kasher it as well, is there a significance in that order? Must the person first kasher the kli and then tovlus, or is it possible to reverse the order? Well, most of the time, this doesn't happen. Most of us are buying new kalim, but every once in a while, a person buys. Some people like to buy now old silverware, used silverware, and if they want to kasher it, and they want to tovlus, must the order be done in that precise way? So that's what we spoke a little bit about. The issue, we're going to continue from that point, together is going to relate to issues surrounding Kabbalah HaTorah. And the first is the Marvakomos, the Ran, and the end of the second of the Nafla Batesim of Ezra Dapi Arif. The Ran quotes the Bright that we spoke about last week, that Rabbanon Kekli Tashvish Rodoti Kichodim, Vadichar Mat Bilon, that the Bright spells out about first you have to wash it off and you have to kasher it, depending on the different methods of kashering it. Pirshu Birushalmi, So the Rishali explains that the very essence of Tfilas Kalim is the fact that it used to be a Goyish Kli, it used to be a non-Jewish Kli, it used to be in the state of Tumas Akum, and now it's being Nichnas to Kedushas Yisrael. Now it's entering into the sanctity of being a Jewish Kli. So this imagery that that the Rishali gives, the notion of Tfilas Kalim is like a Kedushas, like Kedushas Yisrael. This imagery clearly touches upon the halacha of Geirus. We know that not only when a person's Kli wants to convert, but when a person wants to convert, a non-Jew wants to become Jewish, so he's basically being Yotzeh to Tumas Shel Achum and being Nichnas to Kedushas Yisrael. So also the halacha requires him to undergo Tzvila. We'll talk about this a little bit later on, what the sources of this are. But that's clearly a Din Min HaTorah, that part of the process of Geirus is Tzvila. For a woman, that's the only process of Geirus. For a man, that's one of the two, but that Mila and Tvila. So the Rishali makes this divya, makes this comparison between the Yotzim, the Akram, Nichat, and Tishin Yisrael, both in terms of the person, as well as in terms of the Kalim. Now the Rav continues, following this Mashal of the Rishali, Ulefikach Nireh, Shetzach Mahakshir HaKli Tchila, Asim Asheru Ba'adacho Ba'agolo Ba'libun, Ve'chagach Yatilenu, Says the Ran, as far as we mentioned last week, that if a person first has a trace of Kli, he wants to kasher it as well as tovelet, so he has to kasher it first. And it makes a lot of sense because since the Rishonim compares this to a tefillah of leaving Tuma and entering into Kedusha, how could you possibly enter into the world of Kedusha and still be holding on to the Dover HaMetame, something which is keeping you dummy? So following this dimyan of Rishalmi, this comparison to Rishalmi, and following with this man. Oh, that's exactly, yes, exactly what the Geirus, right, exactly what they're going to go through. So since Rishalmi sounds like it's explaining to the Kalim, to the Tfilas Kalim, and the Ran is telling us that based on this idea that the order is important, that you first have to leave the Dover Talmud before you enter into the Dover on Nichnas to Kedusha, this Moshe is going to have serious ramifications in terms of Hilchos Geirus. So we go to the second of the Mamre Kamos. The second of the Marmakomos was the wrong part of the Marmakom, so we'll skip the second of the Marmakomos and get to the third part of the Marmakomos. So what the second of the Marmakomos was supposed to say was supposed to be that one of the Gemara that was describing part of the process of Geirus, where the Braisa tells us that first you do the Mila and then you do the Tzvila. And you have a man who's going to convert, but first he receives the first Mila and then he does the Tzvila. The Tosfos of the third of the Marmakomos comment, the Tosfos says, from the simple order of the way the Bryce presents it, is that the Mila actually comes first. The Tosfos says, the simple pshat in the Gemara is that the Mila has to be before the Tvila. Tosfos doesn't tell you why. We can only begin to imagine that it has something to do with Tosfos B'Sher Tvila, though, but we'll see as we go on. The Tosfos question, is this really true? Is there really an order? Is there a really ma'akev in the sense of that you have to have the proper sequence? First you have to receive a bris milah, and then you have to go to the mikvah. The Tosfos says the simple reading of the Gemara is that yes, but the Tema, the Yama Be'aril, Mubereshit is Gairab, the Noin Tzarech Kvila. Tosfos poses a problem to this theory. Based on the Gemara later on in the Tech of Yavama, it's a little bit of a complicated Gemara. We'll just give the Rashi Prophet as relevant for us. The Gemara tells us that if you have a woman who is pregnant, a non-Jewish woman who is pregnant, if she decides to convert, the child does not have to be converted. The fetus is also considered to be Jewish. The fetus somehow is covered by the tefillah of the mother. And the Gemara is not sure why that's so. The fact that that is true, the Gemara says everybody agrees to, but why that's so is not clear. So there's one opinion in the Gemara that the reason why that halach is true is based on the principle called Uber Yerach Imo, that a fetus is considered to be like a limb, like an extension of the mother's body. So when the mother converts, her arms convert, her stomach converts, her head converts, her legs convert, and her fetus converts, and the fetus is considered to become Jewish as part of the tefillah of the mother herself. Then the Gemara quotes another opinion, that Uber Lav Yerach Imo, that the halacha does not view the Uber, the fetus, as literally an extension of the limb of the mother. It's really a separate entity. So how in the world is the fetus covered by the tefillah of the mother? The Gemara says, no problem, because the fetus is under the water also. But it also tovel in the mikvah, went under the water level. The Gemara says, wait a second, that sounds like a pretty bad chatitza. You know, we get nervous about a little bit of a, a little bit of a nail polish or something. You know, this is a terrible chatitza. The entire body of the baby is being surrounded by the mother. The Gemara says, nah, that's not a problem with chatitza, because it's Haina Revi Sayyid. That's the natural, normal way it grows. Chatitza is something which is artificial, which is a barrier. A person has a cast, a person has a bandage on, those are potential chatitzas. A person is growing inside their mother, the fetus is growing inside the mother, that's natural, that's normal, and that doesn't constitute a chatitza. So the Gemara gives two different ways to explain how this gerus works. Either it works as part of the mother's gerus, or it works as an independent gerus. So Tosfos is bothered that if it works as an independent gerus, well then if this baby turns out to be a boy, then it didn't finish its gerus yet. It has to have a milah, because it has to have a tefillah and a milah. If you hold that it's part of the mother's gerus, then it was yotzei the mother's gerus. It completed its gerus. But if you hold that it's an independent gerus, it's still lacking in milah. But presumably when the baby is born, you're going to befile the baby, that's going to be the milah's gerus. But so it says, wait a second, it's out of order. You did the tefillah first, and then you're doing the milah afterwards. So it says, no, that's not a good riot. Why do you read? The shining house of the kati l'chazi l'milah. That was different. Because it was impossible to do the milah yet. When do we say that water must be maintained? That's when it's possible. But if it's physically impossible, they didn't have a surgeries in utero in those days, the days of census. So therefore, to insist on doing the milah before the tefillah doesn't make any sense because it's not shy to do the milah. So the milah, the water can be flipped around. So I can't give you a thesis. The thesis wasn't 100% sure. They thought that the order is important. Then they backtracked a little bit, and then they backtracked the backtracking. They're not 100% sure that the order has to be maintained. So the question is, why should this be important? If you maintain that the order has to be insignificant, why conceptually should that be true? So if you take a look at the fourth Ramakamut, so the Tvah in Masechet Yevamah is not in Zion of the Days. The first line is in Taimah, first couple of words in Taimah. The Gemara says that first you model, normally you do the meal first, then you wait for the gas to recuperate. So he asks the Ritva, why don't you do it the other way around? You blew tefila. Why don't you first enter the mikvah and then do the meal right away? The Yeshloma says the Ritva, Kishu Arel Ein Tefila Moelev. It says the Ritva that when the person is still an Arel, the tefila is not going to take effect. The tefila will not be effective for the person who is still considered to be in the state of Arlos. Why is that? We invoke the same principle. The Havalei Ketev of Asheret B'yadai, because it's the same imagery of a person toveling and holding on to the dead mouth at the time that he's toveling. That's through the Di'evet Ma'akeh, and that would disqualify the Geirus, even the Di'evet. Well, the Ritva said stronger what Tosfos thought. The Ritva actually says it, and the Ritva even gives us a lumnus for it, why the order is so critical, because otherwise it'll be in the category of a Ketev of Asheret B'yadai. But now the Ritva begins to go back to the field of Kalim part of the story. The Teda, Tal Lecheach Kalim in Hagoyim, Shetzrichim Lahagel Lahapir Hagol Akademis. And now the Ritva is proving Hilchus Geirus from Hilchus Tefillas Kalim. So we'll make it a complete circle. Says the Ritva, in Hilchus Tefillas Kalim, everybody knows that you have to kasha first, and then only then can you tovel. So it must be just as in Hilchus Tefillas Kalim, you have to kasha first and then tovel. still two. And also Gerus, you have to do Neil first and Tfilah. What's the motion? What's the comparison? Now, obviously, the Ritva had his eyes on that Yerushalmi, because the Yerushalmi is describing that Tfilah Kalim almost like a Tfilah Gerus. It's a similar process. So there are really two parts of the process. And if a person is converting, and the physical human being is converting, first you have to leave behind Tumas Arlus, Tumas Goyus, Tumas Akum, that's symbolized by the Milah. And then you have to enable yourself to enter into Kedushas Israel. That's the Tefillah. So too, when you're being the guy, so when you're converting, you're Kalim, so first you're getting rid of the Tuma, that's by capturing it, and then and only then, you mark this for the Kedushas by putting it into the Mikvah. So there's both comparing the two, the Tevah B'Sheh Tefillah that was relevant in both of these cases. But then he gets into trouble. So the talk continues in the third line. The Alpha got the Hossam B'Diyah, but it makes him Tefillah Yotzah. But when it comes to Tefillah Kalim, if you do it out of order, the Meiser, you're Yotze. The Ritva didn't go as far as somebody showed me so last week, who claimed that if you Tevah before you Kasha, you have to do it over again. The Ritva doesn't say that. So if the Marshal is correct, if this comparison is true, between Tefillah Ha'odom to Geirah and Tefillah Ha'kelim, so why don't we take the comparison to the ultimate? No, Shining Hacha, the Tumas Arlus, Tuma Gemura, says the Ritva. You can't compare the two. Tumas Arlus is a real tumor. That's bad. And a little bit of trefa food inside the walls of the pot. Mm-hmm. A little bit of trefa food for your fellows. It's nothing. That's not terrible. So the Ritva says fundamentally the comparison is valid, but the two part ways a little bit because one is more chomer than the other. So up until now, the Ritva is trying to defend this sheet that Tosfos suggested that the milah must precede the tefillah. So whereas Tosfos didn't tell you so convincingly, Tosfos threw it out as a possibility. The Ritva seems pretty convinced at this point. And he gives you a svara why it should be so, and he gives you the comparison to the Tefillah Kalim to strengthen that svara. But then there is both concedes where Rabbeinu Ramban Zalkosav, the B'diyevin and Tovoka and Mila also no Tefillah, but our Rebbe the Ramban, now the Ramban was not the Ritva's Rebbe directly, he was his Rebbe's Rebbe. Ritva was the Talmud of the Ra'ah, the Ra'ah was the Talmud of the Ramban. The Ra'ah was in the same generation as the Rashba, and the Rashba wrote a lot. They argued a lot, so they were about Luchters. The Ra'ah, for many years, was thought to be the Mechaber of the Sefer Chinuch. So later years, they realized that probably wasn't true. We don't really know who the Sefer Chinuch was, but for many, many years, it was assumed to be by the Ra'ah. Whether he wrote the Sefer Chinuch or not, they always find that the author of the Sefer Chinuch was very much on target. It would have fit a very, very nice thing to our world. The Sefer Chinuch writes in his introduction, one of the reasons, why do you write a Sefer Chinuch? Well, the Talmud and Mitzvah gives you a whole summary of each of the Mitzvahs going to the Parsha Shavuot. What is that all about? They write that he saw that the kids, the teenage boys, were walking around Shabbos afternoon doing nothing constructive. So he writes, he said they walk in the street during the Harum. They wanted to give them something productive, so he wrote a section for them. He doesn't say whether it succeeded. But his goal was they would get all the teenage boys in town, get all Barcelona, they live, get them all together, and they would all sort of learn Sefer Chinuch every week, and that was going to solve the first unofficial youth groups of the Middle Ages. So again, he doesn't tell you whether it succeeded or not, but the common dilemma. Anyway, so the Sefer Chinuch, I'm sorry, the Ra'ah was the Rebbe of the Ritvan. He was the Talmud of the Ramban. So he's quoting from his Rebbe's Rebbe. Rabbeinu Ramban Zalkosav, with the Yevet, in Tavakol, the Mila also of Tfilah, that the Ramban thought that the whole din is not true, that the Yevet, the Ger, who goes to the Mikvah first, would still be a kosher Ger. Fabi Ryan, the Mila Kamar Perka, Ariel, Gieris, the Berish, the Tavla, the Don Tach Tfilah. That was the Raya that Tosus brought. Back to you, the Tfilah first, and then Mila. The Mila Hossam, a Tfilah, my Yom Dugla, the Yachimah, the Chen Kassim Stas, the Vasenu, who was out. Umori Arav Ram Docha Raya Zu, but others disagree with this Raya. As Tosfos said, because that was different, because the baby wasn't yet roaring to have a dealer. At the end of the day, we're not sure what the din is. Whether the Mila must be the Mila must precede the tefillah. The reason to insist on it is based on the idea of Tavashar Tziyado. Actually, Shulchan Aruch is quoted as a Sofi. It's quoted 2 days of Shulchan Aruch. Whether the Diyevet, if you goofed up, you did the order out of order, would the Geirus even be valid, even the Diyevet? One time, got to Shaila, years ago before it was as far as the Rav, I was learning in the Y-based Medrash. It goes back so long ago, there were still payphones in those days. Now, I don't think the payphones exist because I don't even know what payphone is. But there used to be two payphones outside the Y-based Medrash. I was walking by and the phone rang. There was a fellow who was calling from a country in South America. there's no doing a whole group of neighbors in the town. There's a big mix up with a certain group of people. And there's not the need to send some opponent to go to South America to go fix up some of the gayers in there. And they were in the middle of doing the gayers. Apparently, there was a cholera epidemic or something. They were told that it would be safer if they did the tequila first, and then they did the meal, and I think get out of town as best as possible. Whatever the details were. So they wanted to flip the order. So somehow they called the Y-Base Medish to find out what are we saying in the Y-Base Medish about flipping the order of the gayers. I said, I feel a little bit awkward talking to Shiloh for 50 families in South America. I said, if I'm going to get a reminder, they're all 2 days in Shulchan Aruch, maybe you should get a talk from somebody as to what to do. So the only time I had to answer the Shiloh, I didn't exactly confuse the answer, it's just, Mar Matamulach, it's an unresolved Shiloh in Shulchan Aruch. Getting back to the story, this idea that the Rishami told us, which is the source of this whole discussion, that there's some kind of a comparison between Tfilas Kalim and Tfilas Geirus seems to be a very, very strange comparison based on everything that we've been talking about the last couple of weeks about Tfilas Kalim. We pointed out that Tfilas Kalim is fundamentally a mitzvah. It's not something that really affects the status of the Kalim in the sense, according to the overwhelming majority of the Rishonim, if you didn't tovel Kalim, the food is still going to be kosher. You're not supposed to use the kli. The nitzvah used the kli before the tovel. We weren't sure whether that was going to be right. A bit of mitzvah, a bit of abon. I'm not sure what the source of that is. There is, but that seems to be clear that you're not supposed to use the kli before the tovel. But in terms of the ramifications, the consequences on the food, according to the overwhelming majority of the folks that we assume in the Ramah Pasuk and the Shulchan Aruch, that the diavad the food is going to be kosher. This is unlike if you don't kasher kli. You don't kasher kli and use the kli within a certain time frame. That could potentially trace off all the food, even the diabetes. So it's clear that tefillah kalim is not the same as kasher and kalim, to such an extent that we, even though we've been focusing this year on tefillah kalim and kasher, tefillah kalim probably doesn't belong in the hilchos kasher. It's really more of a mitzvah than the kasher. But we stick it in there because it has to do with food, it has to do with the kitchen. If that's the case, that tefillah kalim is not really what we call a chalot. It doesn't really change the status of the kli. The kli was kosher before and then it's kosher afterwards. It's just that you're not supposed to be using it, but there's nothing intrinsically different about the kli itself. So that throws into question, what exactly is the nature of this comparison to tefillas geirim? Tefillas geirim, that's just a mitzvah to be tovel geir. If you don't do the tefillah, and the person's not Jewish, and then the whole mashal is very, very strange. The whole mashal is very difficult to understand. I would say that kasher and kalim is closer to tefillas geirim than tefillas kalim. Look, it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah the alma to do. You do it, it's great. If you don't do it, not the end of the world, the food is no kosher anyway, which is so radically different from the person is not Jewish, so you don't say, well, we didn't do the gayer, it's a big deal, the Jewish anyway. No, Kalim is not considered to be Jewish. Now, how about we compare Tfilas Kalim and Tfilas Geirus? Seems to be mixing apples and oranges. So I think there's a certain dimension of Tfilas Geirus, going back to Kamal for Torah, that may shed some light on that discussion. Take a look at the fifth of the Maamar Talmud. The Maamar Sechaz Yavamas from Vavam and Allah has the following Mechlekes, three Mechlekes at Tanoim. What if a person comes to convert, a man, he has a bris milah, but he doesn't go to the mikvah? So Rabbi Eliezer, says that the person is considered to be Jewish, that if a person just had a milah l'shem geirus, even though the man never went to the mikvah, he was still considered to be Jewish. What's the source, Rabbi Eliezer? Shekei matzina b'avisenu, shemov lo tovu. Rabbi Eliezer says, all of the Geirus is tied just to Maamar Hatzina, the Shavuot Sugya. So the Gemara learns out of Maseches Krisos Naftas that whatever you do for Geirus is just mimicking what was done at Maamar Hatzina. So what was done to Klal Yisrael to make them Jewish? How did the Jewish people become Jewish in the first place? So Rabbi Eliezer says, by having a Bris Milah, when they left Mitzrayim. That was the beginning of their entry into the Bris of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And there was nothing else. The Torah doesn't say there was any Tefillah. So Rabbi Eliezer seems to say there was no Tefillah, at least the Tefillah is not critical. So therefore, really, as a whole, that you can become Jewish with milah without milah. What about the other way around? Tovel v'lo mal. What if a person was tovel but didn't have a bris? Rabbi Yeshua Omer is a ger. Rabbi Yeshua said such a person would also be a ger. Shekein batzimu v'imol shetovel v'lo malu. Because we have precedent for this. At Har Sinai, the women converted. Obviously, the women didn't have a bris milah. Not physically possible. So they only all they did was milah. So just as women underwent just tefillah, so too the Dori Doros, all generations, if a man undergoes just tefillah, that would also be acceptable. These are the two extreme shitas. Neither of them is accepted la halacha. But Eliezer says that the only part of the Geirus process that's the Akev is is the milah, and according to Rabbi Yeshua, the only part that's makab is the tefillah. The Chachamim and the Chum say neither opinion is correct. Tovah v'lamah, mavah l'tovah, ein ger atshivo v'yitzol. That's the way we possibly can possibly say explicitly that you have to have both. You have to have milah and tefillah, and they're both ma'akev. What's the source of both? Them, the milah was done in Yitzhak Mitzrayim, and tefillah we assume was done in Har Sinai. It's not 100% clear where the tefillah was done in Har Sinai. The Gemara has a drasha and a svara, and all back and forth. As far as the Gemara concludes in Yavama that there was a tefillah that was done twice, so part of the preparation for Kabbalah Torah was an actual tefillah ben mikvah. So just as the Klal Yisrael's preparation for Knisa Lebris was through Mila and Tevila, that's the Zimah Deridaira, that's the Zimah Torah, that all subsequent generations of Zoyim want to convert have to undergo Mila and Tevila. So Tevila and Lechagat Tatanoim, what process is absolutely critical? Eliezer says that the Mila is critical, Tevila is not so important. But be sure that Tevila is critical, Mila is not so terrible. And the Chacham say both are necessary. So I want to focus for a moment on the two sheets that we don't pass them. So usually you focus mostly on what you do pass like, but once in a while, if you focus on the shittas that you don't pass like, you can get a little bit of a better insight into that law. According to Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, who say that both processes are not really so critical. One is important, either the mila, the tefila, different shittas, this one. And the worldview of Rabbi Eliezer, when a person would convert, regular person would convert, we didn't send him to the mikvah. When Rabbi Yeshua, a person would convert, we didn't give him the tefila. Of course we did. It was never like this, what we're supposed to do in terms of Geirus. Everybody agrees what the protocol of Geirus was. There's Mila and there's Tvila. And Machlaikis says, which is the Akev, which is not the Akev. But it's clear from both of the Lezer and the Yeshua that a normal Geir, of course, does both. There's no way to have a question that. They're arguing after the fact, what happened to the Yazid if you didn't do it? So would you be Jewish or not? So how do you understand that? Point of the Yazid, you have to do both, but only one is critical. According to the Yeshua, you have to do both, but only one is critical. How do you understand that? So we have a precedent for these types of halachas, where sometimes the Torah tells us multiple processes are necessary. One of them is critical, and one is not critical. Give an example, chalitza. The Torah says that the husband dies, he doesn't have any children, either the brother marries or the zibul, or they do chalitza. What is necessary to do chalitza to permit the woman to remarry? The Torah describes three parts of the process. It's taking off the shoe, it's sitting on the ground, and then there's a kriyas ha'psukim, the recitation, the different psukim in Bashit Kisei. The Mishnah tells us, we pass here, the Mishnah in the Sanhedrin Yavama tells us, the only part that's ma'akev, the only part that's critical, that prevents the woman from remarrying, is the chalitza, because take off the shoe. If you forgot to do the spitting, no, you're still yaitse. If you forgot to read the psukim, you're still yaitse. But you're supposed to do it, the Torah says to do it. How do you understand that? The answer is there are really two parts of chalitza. There's chalitza as a matir, there's chalitza which affects the halachic change, halachic status. The woman cannot marry until this point, and now she's a chalitza, she can marry. The chalitza has the role of a matir. The chalitza is also a mitzvah. There's a mitzvah to do chalitza. But what the Tanoim are telling us in the Mishnah of Sefer Yevamos is that the mitzvah chalitza requires all three. That's what the Torah says. The chalitza, the rachis, the yarka, the karu. You have to do all three to perform the mitzvah properly. But in order for the effect, for the status change to take effect, only one of the three has to take place, and that one of the three is the chalitza. That seems to be the same thing here as well. Min haTorah, when a person converts, there's a mitzvah geirus. The mitzvah geirus requires to mimic exactly what happened in Hasidah. You have mila, tefillah, everything works. But now, in addition to geirus being a mitzvah, geirus is also a matir, or geirus is a machshir. Geirus changes the status. It changes the person, transforms the person from being a goy to being a Jew. So which of these processes is the akev of the evidence? So in Rabbi Eliezer and Yeshua's view, the answer is not the same as the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to do everything. How much is the akav of the Eved? One, the other, whichever one it is, different sources. Just like chalitza, the mitzvah is to do all three, but the Eved, the matir, only requires one of them. The Chachamim said no. The Chachamim say that the mitzvah of Geirus and the matir of Geirus are the same. I mean, just as there's a mitzvah you have to do milu tefillah, the matir, the machshir, is only the combination of the two that transforms the person to make them Jewish. So you see from Rabbi Eliezer from Yeshua that Geirus is not just a machshir. Geirus is not just a transformation. There's a mitzvah Geirus. And there may be certain parts of Geirus that, like an amakev, that don't really make a difference in terms of the person's outcome, but there's still a mitzvah to do them anyway. So even the Chacham agree that there's a mitzvah Geirus. It's just that the Chacham hold that all parts of mitzvah Geirus are machshir to the other. But everybody agrees there's a matir, there's a machshir of Geirus, and there's a mitzvah of Geirus. Now that we've ascertained that there is, for sure, a mitzvah of Geirus, now the marshal to fill scale makes a little bit more sense. Tevilas kelim is not really a matir. It's not like kashrin kelim. Kashrin kelim is not a mitzvah. Kashrin kelim is a matir. If you want to use the kelim, you have to kashrin. There's no mitzvah. There's no bracha. When you clean your oven in a place, you don't make a bracha. If you trace up a spoon, you throw it into a pot of water, you don't make a bracha. There's no mitzvah to kashrin kelim. If you want to use the kli, use the kli. You don't want to use it. Throw it in the garbage. Throw it in the garbage. When it comes to tevilas kelim, there's a mitzvah. You'll get the harai, you make a bracha on tevilas kelim. So kashrin kelim is a matir, and therefore, if you don't do it, it could trace up the food also, but it's not a mitzvah, it's not bracha. Tefillas kelim is the opposite. Tefillas kelim is a mitzvah, it's not really a matir. Therefore, there is a bracha, but it doesn't have any ramifications if you mess up. Now, when we come to geirus, the geirus is a combination of the two. Geirus has both elements of machshir as well as elements of mitzvah. When the Rishalmi is comparing tefillas kelim to tefillas geirim, Yerushalmi is not focusing on the matir aspect of Geirus. That doesn't exist in Tefillas Kelim. Yerushalmi is focusing on the mitzvah aspect, which in fact the two do share. There is a comparison. There is some kind of connection between the two. So, Kelpanim, whether or not Lamaisa, the dinner of Tovah Shor Tziyado, play out in Geirus, whether they play out by Tefillas Kelim, is unclear. But one thing is clear from Yerushalmi that there is some kind of connection between the two, between Tefillas Kelim and Tefillas Geirus and Kabbalat Torah. The question in terms of going out of the world of halacha from the world of hashkafa, a little bit yana diyoma, why should that be so? I understand when a person wants to convert, but I understand you have to enter into a counter shechina, have to be nichas to kedusha, I understand the need for tefillah. But tefillah came is a very strange thing. I'm Jewish already. Makelim, I'm not Jewish. What are the words that mean, Makelim, I'm not Jewish? Why do I have to have like a sense of kabbalah Torah? Before I sit down and eat my meal, you have to have a kabbalah Torah. You have to have a knis to kedusha. What is the significance of that? So perhaps it's based on the sugya that appears in the sixth of the Mamre Kavot. The Gemara quotes a famous machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shua. They also appear here. So at the end of the first line, in Tzachon Tzemachet and Vez, the sign Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Eino liyadu miyantet ala oichu v'shauta yoshu v'shayne. Rabbi Eliezer says that a person has two choices on yantet. Either you can eat and drink all day, we consider them all day. Either one is a valid celebration of Yantif. Rabbi Yeshua, Amr, Rabbi Yeshua says, no, Chalkei, Chati, Lachim, Oshtia, Vechet, Chamech, Medesh. Rabbi Yeshua says, you have to split. Half of it has to be for eating and drinking, for physical enjoyment, half of it for learning and davening. We had a disbach legis emanate from Amr, Rabbi Yechanan, Ushneh, Mikreach, Adarshu, both of the and Yeshua are based on the same postbook. Because of Echad, Amr, Tzeret, Hashem, Lachecha, because of Echad, Amr, Tzeret, Yelachem. In one place, the Torah describes Yontif as a day for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and another place, the Torah describes Yontif as a day for you. Which one is it? Is the emphasis on physical? The emphasis on spiritual? Rabbi Eliezer Sava Okul Hashem Okul Lachem. Rabbi Eliezer said, the Torah is giving you two options, either totally for HaKadosh Baruch Hu or totally for yourself. Rabbi Shua Sava, Rabbi Shua says, no, Chalkei Chetzel Hashem Chetzel Lachem. Rabbi Shua says, you have to split it to half and half. That's what we talk about. Halacha holds to Rishon HaTzadik Rabbi Shua. That's what we try to do. You don't have to sit in Mamash with a stopwatch to figure out exactly, but you have to try and mess. That's what we do. We dive in a little bit in the morning, then we go home and have a nice meal, take a nap, and some of the social citizens are part of a lachem, you take wife, a walk with your wife, also a lachem, then you go back to learn a little bit, then you go back to mincha, and that's supposed to even out approximately. The folks can discuss whether the night goes into the cheshbon also. But if Shavuos night goes into the cheshbon, then you're okay, then you got, depending how much, depends how much you're learning in Shavuos night. But if the night doesn't go into the cheshbon, so you got to make sure to make some extra time learning during the day. Otherwise, guys, sleeping most of the day that he's eating. He's davening. I don't know whether that counts as Lachem or Hashem. So it comes to Gemara with a startling statement. The last line in my recovery. I'm Rabbi Elazar. The Amir of Elazar says, "Hakom leidin de'aseres de'inami lachem." Everybody agrees that on Shavuos you have to have Lachem also. Even though Rabbi Eliezer says that on another Yom Tov, you want to sit and learn all day, Pesach all day, Shmini Aseres, but that's fine. But in Shavuot, everybody agrees you have to have lachem, you have to have a meal. That sounds a little bit strange, but the reason the Gemara gives is even more strange. My time, Yom Shinit Nebel Teru, it's the day that the Torah was given. So if anything, that should be the opposite. Yom Shinit Nebel Teru would mean that there's a great day to go to the Bishmash all day. So that's always a very, very strange statement about the laws. Many, many drushes have been given on this. One of the famous drushes that was given by the Beit HaLevi. Beit HaLevi was the Chaim's father, the Rav's great-grandfather, the Rav's name is so the Beis HaLevi suggested that this Gemara has to be understood in light of a very famous Maimon Chazal, Masech Shabbos. The Gemara tells us that at the time of Maimon HaSinai, the Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to Shemayim, And the Malachim make the whole fuss. They don't want class to get the Torah. The Malachim make a case to the Rabbi Shalom. They're boss of the Dom. They have to really keep the Torah properly. But don't give them the Torah. Give us the Torah. And the Rabbi Shalom turns to Moshe Rabbeinu and says, no, go argue with Malachim. Try to defend Klai itself. So Moshe Rabbeinu goes to the Asher HaDibris and he says, Amech Hashem Lekecha. He says, you are Adam. What's your shaykh for the Torah? Lo Sirtach, Lo Sinach, Lo Signach. These things, they don't speak to the Klal. There's no shaykh to them. So therefore, we're the ones who need the Torah. You don't really need the Torah. The Gemara says in the schutz of that argument, Moshe Rabbeinu said that we are boss of Adam, we're human beings. We need the Torah. That's how it got us the Torah. Otherwise, Malachim would have won the day. We wouldn't have had a Shavuot. We wouldn't have had a Kabbalah to Torah. The Beis Halevi says that on Shavuot, we want to emphasize the fact, Yom Shavuot Torah Yisrael, the Torah was given to us. How do you emphasize that? By eating and drinking. If you're going to sit and learn in Daven all day, you're a Malach. You're a Malach, you wouldn't have gotten the Torah. So you have to show that you're still Ba'elam Haz, that you're still a little bit in this world, and not too much a little bit in this world, and you have a little bottle of Yayin, and you're enjoying the day, and you can still be a Rebbe Hashem, you can still be from, and a bottle of Yayin, that's an amazing thing. That's not a Yoshin of the Torah. That's the day. Well, not the young Tov, you want to be a Malach, that's fine, but Shavuot is not the day to be a Malach. Shavuot is the day to be a three bottle of Adam. So the Beis Halevi explained, that's the reason why we think that we have this strange minute. Nobody knows where this minute came from, to eat milchis and shavuot. And he said that the original minute to eat milchis and shavuot was that they would eat milchis, and then they would stop, and then they would deflesh it. And they would be machbit, they'd go out of their way to eat milchis and deflesh it, and then they would wash their mouth out and take another bread and wash their hands and all that. They wanted to emphasize kashrut. They wanted to make a fuss, make a point, that comes shavuot, we're demonstrating shavuot to milchis kashrut. We're going to show as a hero to the Kashrut, because Kashrut is the ultimate answer to the Malachim. The Malachim are Shaykhus to Kashrut. The Malachim are not human beings, but the Shaykhus to Kashrut. But we, who are celebrating the fact that we're eating and drinking and Shavuot, we're going to celebrate it Dafka through the proper and meticulous observance to the Malachim that govern the Kashrut. Maybe that's a little bit of adding on to the Beis Halevi, the Derech HaDrush, why it makes so much sense that when a person buys Kalim, so the Kalim have to go up to the next one. You can't have to go to the mikvah the same way the Jewish people had to go to the mikvah. The same way the goy wants to convert, you have to go to the mikvah. Because when you sit down and you buy yourself a pot, you buy yourself a set of silver, you buy yourself some glasses, so you're not just sitting down eating. The goy can also eat. You're sitting down eating the terrace you surround. You're sitting down, at a kosher table, so you have to demonstrate that before you can put that your food into the pot, that food's got to go to the mikvah. So that's the mikvah, that's the not just you, that's the mikvah, that's the food as well. So there's a doubt for the Kabbalah to serve your food that got us here in the first place. There's a doubt for what got us there in the first place. So hopefully there's a little bit of these figures of Kalim and Kabbalah to Torah, so it'll add a little bit of a dimension to our celebration of Shavuot, which shows all these reichas to the proper celebration of Kabbalah to Torah, the ultimate Yom Shavuot to Torah. So,
if you look at it, I think it's a place.